If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to read verses 45 and 46. Then I'm going to flip back to Psalms chapter 22, Messianic Psalm of the Cross, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And the title of the message today is Jesus, the Crimson Worm. I think you'll see how it all connects together here in just a moment. And I'm in the New King James Version. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is Aramaic, by the way. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, think about that, because these words, right after this, Jesus is going to yield up his spirit. He's going to say, Father, unto thy hands I commit my spirit. And he's given his life as our ransom, and he's dying, and that ends the darkness. He'll say, it is finished. And so what you're going to see over here in Psalms chapter 22, and I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but this is a messianic psalm written close to 1,000 years before the cross. It's very important because a lot of what Jesus says and what happens at Calvary is prophesied by Isaiah back here. So here we are, Psalms 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. But you are wholly enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Now watch verse 6. This is our key verse for today. And I believe this is something Jesus, maybe he didn't say out loud, but I believe he said it from the cross. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. Let's go ahead and hit verse 7. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Well, guess what? He is going to rescue him, and he does delight in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we pray this morning that you would apply it to our hearts. Open our minds. Open our ears and our spiritual eyes to hear the truths from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I always like to have a little bit of humor at the beginning of a service. And, you know, there's not a lot of Easter jokes out there, but there's a real sad story that I want to tell you about. And it's about a man who accidentally ran over the Easter bunny and killed it. Now, bear with me, kids and adults. So a lady stopped to help, and she got out of her car, and with an aerosol can in her hand, she said, I can help. So she goes up to the Easter bunny and she sprays something all over that rabbit. Well, the rabbit got up, it hopped a few feet, it turned around and it waved. It'd hop a few more feet and it'd turn around and it would wave. And it continued to hop and turn around and wave until it was finally completely out of sight. Well, the man that ran over the rabbit says, wow, can I see what's in that can? So he gets the can and he reads on the back and it says, restore life to dead hair, adds permanent wave. That's a rerun. I've told it before. That's why it's a rerun. I hope y'all bared with me all the way to the end. That rabbit actually got to live. Don't go home and spray your rabbit with your mom's hairspray when you get home. And so let's look at the crimson worm. I want to kind of set the stage a little bit for the crimson worm. To really appreciate the resurrection and what Jesus did on the cross, we have to remind ourselves that we are earthly without Christ. We are lost without Christ. We are condemned without Christ. The Bible's very clear on that. And that without Christ, we absolutely have no hope of heaven at all. Matter of fact, without Jesus Christ, hell will be our home. It's not a very popular message, but the Bible teaches it. Now, Jesus doesn't send anybody to hell. When we make a decision to reject him, we choose hell. But we are lost and we are earthly. A worm is earthly. A worm is attached to the earth. A worm is, it's in the soils. And the Bible gives us two different words for worm, and it's on your outline. There's two worms of Scripture. In fact, there's a couple of different verses in the Bible. One's in Isaiah, another one's in Job, where both words are used in the same verse. Job 25:6 says, "How much less man who is a maggot, and a son of man who is a worm." I think it's important that we see a verse prior to that. Chapter 25, verse 4, two verses prior to that verse. "How then can a man be righteous before God?" Think about that. How can a man be righteous before God? Or how can he be pure who is born of a woman? Meaning that we're born into sin, is the picture. So Job, way back there, is asking the question, I want to know how I can be righteous. I want to know how a man can be righteous. How can a person be pure in the eyes of God? And think about what he's going through and wondering why he's going through it. And then the Holy Spirit, speaking through him, says this in verse 6. "How much less man who is a maggot." The word for maggot is rima. That's A on your outline. Rima, R-I-M-M-A-H. That's the common word for worm or grub. That's just your everyday worm. Matter of fact, I've got some night crawlers at the house in the refrigerator. Teresa, don't eat them. Those are for me. They're good fish bait. But think of a night crawler. You know what a night crawler looks like. A night crawler is a rima. It stays in the soils. Now follow me on this because it's really important. It stays in the soil. The definition is that of something that is decaying. It eats what decayed. It lives in the decay. That's the first word in Job 25:6 for maggot or for worm. Now look at the next word. He says, "And a son of man who is a worm." That word is tolaoth. And that's on your outline. Tolaoth, the crimson worm. There's a big difference between a rima worm and a tolaoth worm. And Jesus, in Psalms 22:6, identifies himself with a tolaoth worm. He says, "But I am a tolaoth." The same word. "But I am a tolaoth." He didn't say I'm a rima. He didn't say I'm a night crawler. He didn't say I'm a red worm. I don't know any other worms. But he said I'm a tolaoth. And a tolaoth worm, and I've got a picture. I want to show it to you. Look at this. It's about the size of a pea. It's a scaly worm. And this worm is different than the rima worms because this worm lives off the tree. This worm survives daily on the saps, especially from a Kermes oak, but from different kind of oaks. And that is a tolaoth worm. And that worm, if you squeezed it, a crimson liquid or blood will come out of it. The liquid that is in that worm is used for a lot of things. And back in Israel's day, it was used on the garments of the high priest. It was used possibly on the scarlet in the coverings of the tabernacle of Moses. It was very expensive to extract. But it makes a permanent dye. Once it stains something, it is forever stained. I mean, you can see it, and I'll talk about that in a minute, on the trees where these worms have their little ones. It's pretty powerful. So it is the tolaoth, the crimson worm. Now, to kind of set the stage a little more, think about Joshua chapter 2, verses 18 and 21. And you can remember that back there, the spies have come into Israel. They're coming into Jericho. They're getting ready to take the city. And you can remember what happens. They meet a lady named Rahab. After a lot of discussions and this lady hiding these two spies from the military people, what happens is she's believing somewhat in the God of the Hebrews at this stage. And she says, "When you come in here for battle, remember me," basically. And you know what they told her? "Take this scarlet cord," tolaoth cord, same word. "Take this tolaoth, this crimson cord, and hang it out the window." And they said, "And bring all your family in there, because if that scarlet cord is not hanging out the window, all of you are going to lose your life." It's kind of like back in Exodus chapter 12, whenever the blood was placed on the doorpost and on the lintels, and the firstborn that did not have the blood would die. It was because God's judgment was falling upon them. And so it's a picture that whatever that tolaoth worm is, because it's that tolaoth cord, I'm protected. Because I've got blood on my doorpost, I'm protected. And so there's something powerful about this tolaoth that the Bible's wanting us to see. Joshua 2, 18 and 21 says, "Unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet," that word for scarlet, tolaoth, "cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your home." And then it talks about that some more. And then in verse 21, it says, "And she bound the tolaoth cord," the scarlet cord, "in the window." It's powerful. Now, one more example before we move on. Remember the story of Jonah. In fact, Jesus said, when the Pharisees, when the Jews were asking for a sign, saying, give us a sign. He said, I'm not going to give you a sign except for the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. What is Jesus doing? He's saying, go back and read the book of Jonah. You want a sign? You want to see a miracle? Here's a miracle. Go read the book of Jonah and get familiar with it. Now, remember what happens. God prepared, number one, a great fish in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Those scriptures I just quoted was Matthew 12, 38 and 40, where Jesus told them about the sign of Jonah. So first, he prepares a great fish, and you know the story. Jonah's thrown overboard, and he's swallowed by a fish. Then later, in Jonah chapter 4, verse 7, God prepared, and the word says this every time, God prepared a great fish. God prepared a worm. Guess what the word is for worm? Tolaoth. A worm that survives off the sap of an oak, not a gourd. Now watch this. There was one more thing he prepared in Jonah. God prepared a vehement east wind. That's Jonah chapter 4, verse 8. Now, I want to show you how this connects. So, Jonah gets spit out by the whale. Picture of resurrection. He spit out, just like you and I, preaching and witnessing the redemption story of the Lord. He's saying, you can repent. You can change. And if you don't, in 40 days, judgment's going to come. In other words, you're all going to be killed. Now, it's interesting because Jonah is upset even though everybody in town has repented. He's still mad because he hates the Ninevites. He wants to see God's judgment. The problem with Jonah is this. Now, do not miss this because it'll lead right into the cross. The problem with Jonah is Jonah was under the law so much he could not grasp God's grace. He wanted to see God's wrath poured out and God wanted to see his mercy poured out. Now, keep following me here. Overnight, God says, all right, I'm God. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to raise up a gourd. You know those gourds? We used to have them next to the chicken pen. They've got great big leaves on them. I'm going to grow up this gourd to give him some shade because Jonah was hot. It was hot out there. And so overnight, supernaturally, this gourd grows. And he wakes up the next morning. He's got this great shade. He's enjoying it all day long. He kicks back that night, drinks his coffee. I drink coffee before I go to bed. That's why I sleep so good in the daytime. And Jonah sees this shade tree is withered away the next day. And it's real hot. And Jonah says, I wish I were dead. I just wish I were dead. I don't even want to live. Well, you're still hanging out just because you want to see the people of Nineveh get judged in 40 days. But they repented. You're wasting your time. What is the object lesson on the gourd? Because he grew it up. And then the next night, he caused Tolaoth worms to destroy that gourd. Why didn't he use another insect, a locust, another kind of worm that is of the soil? Why did he use a tolaoth that abides in the vine, that eats the sap out of the oak? Jesus abiding in the Father, telling us to abide in him, to abide in the vine. God destroyed with that tolaoth a picture of the Messiah, a picture of Jesus. He tore that tree down as an object lesson to say, you care more for the shade tree than you care about human beings that I know the number of, that don't know their right hand from their left, that will go to hell if I don't do something about it because they're eternal beings. You're more worried about the shade tree than you're worried about them. And Jonah, you're going to be upset. Pick you up a handful of those tolaoth worms because I know you're mad at them because you just realized they ate up your shade. And I can just see Jonah mad and squeeze them and the crimson blood coming between his fingers and out of his hands. What's God doing? He's reminding him. He knew what a tolaoth was. He knew about scarlet. He knew about crimson. He's reminding him of the temple. He's reminding him of redemption. He's reminding him of the high priest. He's reminding Jonah of the blood that has to be shed. And he's saying, you got to start caring for the people. And the Bible says a vehement east wind followed that. Isn't that just like he did in Egypt when he brought Israel across the Red Sea? He brought an east wind and it opened up the sea. And the people of Israel that believe followed and they came out the other side. But Pharaoh that represents Satan and his army, that was removed. The east wind was removed. And the sea collapsed on them. Picture of saved and lost, picture of good and evil, and a picture of redemption and baptism in Jesus Christ when we believe in him. And so what he's doing, he brings an east wind right after the tree is gone. And I think that is significant, symbolic, and represents that the Holy Spirit comes and he exposes us to the law so that we'll receive him in mercy. You see, what he was doing is sitting under the shade tree of the law, judging everybody else, not letting the law judge him personally. But when the winds came, it's a picture of just absolute needing Jesus, absolutely depending upon the Lord. Now, watch this, because this brings us to our next point. The female worm, I want to tell you about this worm, and that's number two on your outline. Jesus identifies himself on the cross as the crimson worm. Now, think about this. That's why they call it a scale worm. Its scientific name is Coccus alicis, C-O-C-C-U-S-I-L-I-C-I-S. When you study this worm, be it from a Christian creation perspective, and you study this from a science secular perspective, you're going to find out its life cycle is parallel. This is not pie in the sky. This is how God created this Toloth worm to be used in the story of redemption. Jesus identified himself with that worm. He said, I'm a Toloth. He didn't identify himself with the grub, with the nightcrawler, but with the one that came from heaven, so to speak. Did you know the male flies? The male flies like in the heavenlies, the Father in the heavenlies, the Son on the earth, abiding in the vine, eating the sap off of the oak. And here's what this thing does. On a particular time of year, the Toloth worm crawls up an oak tree of some kind. She permanently attaches herself to the tree. By the way, her lifespan's only about 3 to 4 months. That's it. At a certain time, what I've read is it's mostly July to August. This worm just knows it's time to birth a family. Now think about Jesus on everything I say. This worm was created to do this. This worm goes up on that oak, and then once it's gone up, it attaches itself permanently to the tree. Nobody forced it. Nothing happened to force it. It just did it. God created the worm to do it. It goes up to give birth, and it will not come down alive from that tree. Once attached to the tree, her created life cycle begins. Now watch this. Her love attaches her to the tree. Just as Christ, it was his love that held him to the tree. He could have called legions of angels. He could have spoke a word and been off that cross, but he didn't do it. It was his love that held him to the cross. That worm is there attached to the tree, and as it's there, a process begins to take place. She lays her eggs inside that shell attached to the tree, and the shell, the outside of that worm, begins to harden up, and it becomes like a tomb, like a tent, like a shelter from the weather, from everything. And these little baby worms are now inside that shell. And at a certain time, these worms begin to hatch. Now watch this. So the worms begin to hatch, and they start immediately feeding upon the mother, because when they hatch, the mother naturally releases this crimson blood, this crimson chemical, crimson stain, and it covers the shell. It's all over the tree, the bark. It's all over the babies. It permanently stains these babies crimson, Toloth scarlet, permanently. Just as the blood of Jesus permanently stains us that believe that we are the children of God. So this mother now, her shell has hardened up. These babies feed on the mama for 3 days. That's where they get their sustenance. Isn't that interesting? 3 days as she's given her life to birth a family. Interestingly, in that first 3 days, you could actually take a knife and scrape that worm off the tree. And it, to this day in Israel, because that worm is native to that area around the Mediterranean, still extract the dye out of that worm. But you got 3 days you really need to do it to get the best compound of the color. But watch this. So the worm dies, and then for that 3 days, they're feeding on it. Remember what Jesus said at the Passover when he's instituting the New Testament Lord's Supper? He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. We feed upon Jesus Christ. We feed upon his word. We feed upon him in prayer. We feed upon him in worship. And it's the same picture. We grow in Christ. Now watch this. Then on the morning of the fourth day, you'll see the resurrection in this picture. On day 4, her tail and her head curl up like this, and it forms the shape of a heart. That I love you is the picture. God caused that to happen in this worm. That body, that hard shell that she had, has now, at this stage, by day 4, her shell has produced a wax, and it has become as white as snow. Y'all remember the verse in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18? Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, there's that word, Toloth, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, same word, Toloth, they shall be as wool. Let me tell you what happens on this day 4. That mama's shell turns Snow White. And it's a real waxy substance. And the babies have been feeding on the mother. And the shell is now softened. And the babies can begin to escape. And as they escape from this mother, it looks like a little white spot of wool on the side of the tree with blood stains coming down the bark. And as these babies begin to escape, they're stained permanently as children of the mother that had to die to give them birth. The mom's dead at this point. And then that snow powder, that waxy powder, begins to fall on them. Psalms chapter 22, verse 14 says this, the Messianic Psalm. He says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. You see, Jesus identified himself as that Tolaoth when he was on the cross. Now, don't miss this. We're almost done. These baby worms come out. This mama has died. Now, there's two things. That waxy substance is used as a shellac. To this day, it's a high-dollar preservative. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what preserves our eternal destiny. It preserves the truth of the Word of God. It preserves that our faith is valid. It preserves that our prayers go into the throne room of God, Hebrews 4:16. It is a preservative. The resurrection is the paid stamp on the gospel of Jesus Christ and on every single claim that Jesus made, all the seven I ams, everything he ever said. You can take it to the bank. You can trust it. You can believe it. Why? Because the resurrection has sealed it. It is the seal of affirmation. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that without the resurrection, our faith would be most pitiable. We would be empty. Our preaching would be empty. Our faith would be empty. The resurrection preserves your faith. Secondly, they would take that worm and make a medicine out of it, several kinds of medicines, one of which helped regulate the heartbeat. Did you know that if you look at life through evolution, the DNA is what evolutionaries will tell you, that life is in the DNA. Here, we're learning that life is in the blood. Isn't that what Jesus said in Leviticus? It's the picture of the Tolaoth that gives life for you and I. We believe by faith in Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Here's your last one. His resurrection and eyewitnesses prove his claims as true. Did you know that's what struck me when I was studying? I couldn't help but to think about 1 Corinthians 15. I saw something there. Because that worm can be witnessed. An unbeliever can see that worm. A believer can see that worm. A skeptic can see that worm. An agnostic, an atheist can see that worm. And you cannot deny the life cycle of that worm. It has eyewitnesses that prove that that worm is doing what God created it to do. That it is a picture of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to me because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 3 through 6 says this. For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen. Now watch the change here. According to the Scriptures, that's the first witness. Here's the second. In other words, they've died. After this, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also. Paul's talking about the road to Damascus experience. As by one born out of due time. Now, you say, how do you apply that? I got two more verses, and then we're done. Isaiah chapter 66 is very powerful. It's the very end of the book of Isaiah. And here's what he says. It's the very last verse in the book of Isaiah. He's saying, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. Watch this. For their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. The word for worm in Isaiah 66:24, it's not Rhema, Tolaoth. You say, that sounds familiar. It is. You've read it in Mark chapter 9. Listen to what Jesus says over here. Verses 44, 46, and 48. He says in 43, he says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched. Now it's a quotation in verse 44 of Isaiah 66:24. He says, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Again in verse 46, where their worm, Tolaoth, does not die and the fire is not quenched. Again, Jesus says it in verse 48, where their worm, Tolaoth, does not die and the fire, hell, is not quenched. What's the picture right there? Here it is. If we die in this life without Jesus and his blood covering, If we have not allowed him to birth us into his family and to birth us, then what happens when we die and we end up in hell? In hell, there's no gospel down there to save you. In hell, there's no Tolaoth. The Tolaoth that can save you while you're living right now becomes a Tolaoth of consumption when you're in hell. Because in hell, the worm dieth not. People are going to beg, let the worm die. Can Jesus come here and die for us? We'll believe if he'll come to hell. We'll believe, just let the Tolaoth come here and die. And he's saying the worm can't die. And the fire can't be quenched. The only way the fire could be quenched is if the worm could die. The worm died for you while you had opportunity. Today was the day of salvation. Now is the time. But you rejected me. I begged you. I convicted you. I brought circumstances into your life to intercept you. I brought the Word of God to you. I caused you to watch Billy Graham, read church signs, listen to something on the radio. I spoke to your heart. If you'd have just sought me a little bit, just a little bit, if you'd have just seek me, you'd have found me because I love you that much. Oh, just a little bit and I would have ran right to you. Because I created you to have a free will, and I want you to choose me. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. But in hell, the worm can't die. Isn't that eye-opening? There's your Tolaoth worm. You can actually go all the way back to Exodus chapter 16, verse 20, and there's a lot more scriptures I didn't have time for. And you can follow the Tolaoth worm all the way to hell in Mark chapter 9. I don't want to be in hell with the Tolaoth worm. I got the Tolaoth worm in a hotel room. An alcoholic, depressed, lonely, sinner, lost, earthbound. And I gave my heart to Jesus in that hotel room. And he stained me permanently with the blood of Jesus. And he birthed me into his family. And I've been feeding on him ever since. Not 3 days, every day. I feed on Jesus. Let's pray. This is Easter Sunday morning. I can't think of a better day to give your heart to Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes people will say in their heart, yeah, it's invitation time. I know what he's fixing to do. He's going to share the gospel and go through all that. And you know, I've heard it before. What you don't realize is it's through the preaching of the gospel, the sharing of the gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation. That's how he chose it. You see, I cannot save you, but I can share the message with you that can. Jesus loves you and he'll save you. You don't want to gamble with your eternity. You can't play with that. There's not a person in here that's a Christian that didn't do the same thing, have to come to the cross. You see, it's at the cross where Jesus paid it all. He paid your sin debt. You say, well, I want to give my heart to Jesus right now. I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel conviction. I feel afraid. I hope you feel afraid. When I got saved, I was scared to death. I felt like I was standing on thin ice. And if the ice broke, I was going to fall right into the flames of hell. I was scared. Should have been scared. But I want to tell you, if the Holy Spirit's drawing you, if he's convicting you of your sins, you simply say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're God. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart right now. Lord, I believe that you were sent from heaven to earth. I don't understand it all, but I believe that you're God. I believe that I am a sinner. My sins are always before me, condemning me. And Lord, I just cry out for your mercy. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd cover me with your blood. That you would forgive me as far as the east is from the west of all my sin. And Lord, that you'd come into my heart, change my life. Help me, Lord, to be a brand new creation. Living for you every single day. In love with you. Telling others about you, not getting calloused to the gospel. But everybody I meet saying, you got to know what Jesus has done for me. You got to see it. He's a Savior. He loves you. And he'll give you eternal life right now, this moment. Would you do that? You may be in here this morning and it's something totally different that God has put on your heart. Would you do business with God? You know what it is. Just do business with God. Just respond in obedience. Just be honest with him. I always say, when you pray, just pray honestly. Just share your heart. One of the best prayers is in the middle of the night when you wake up and you just start sharing your heart with the Lord. Just share it. He loves you. Cast your cares upon him and watch what he'll do. You may be in here this morning and God's put it on your heart that today is the day he wants you to become a part and join Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. You can do that today. Father, do in our lives and hearts what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.